vorauszukommen. please make yourself comfortable. But let me say that today is a very, very happy day. It's the day when the dearest servant of Lord Krishna, Haridasa Varya, best of servants, Radharani declared him as such, is worshipped with colors, with joy. You can see the forest has turned into a place where the Brijvasi celebrate. There are even butter pots hanging. I hope the monkeys are.
They are empty.
They are empty.
We have a stick.
Let's decorate. We have a stick here. And please notice the environment. You're sitting in a sacred forest. It is a forest with good sized trees. You are sitting with Giriraj in front of you as worshipful deities and as the sacred mountain in the back, who is here, a living presence, a living deity, the main deity actually, Hare Krishna. we are all extremely fortunate to have found in our hearts the desire to come today here in this best place for, I mean, there are many best places, but one of the best places to be on this sacred day. You are all very fortunate. You must be great devotees of the Lord, because the Lord has given into your heart the desire to celebrate him with all of us. So welcome, welcome. Try to reach them by overcoming obstacles which still may be here. I will sing a little Jayarada Mantra. I have been instructed to wait for a moment. Gaur Krishna, are you there? And good. Can I please have a pair of cartels? Krishna, Krishna. But have you all noticed the place? Have you looked around? No, please take a moment to just take it in. Make a snapshot in your heart. No need of mobile telephone. The heart is much better, and everything has to go in the heart ultimately. And it's not in the heart, and only on your mobile telephone. It has not reached you. So look around. I can't believe I'm singing this here in the forest. So please let us hear your voices. You are not really singing. Something has not reached your heart somehow. You are in a blissful shock, I think. So please, we need you to hear your voice. Try again, everyone.
Yasoda na 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 na
Goswami says Giriraj should be worshipped in a couple of ways. One is singing, one is doing an arati or puja. But another way to worship Giriraj is to hear about his glories. And I request all of you to see this as an exercise in worship. When you do worship, you never sleep, you don't sleep while you do your worship. So we will first address you, and then we will request Bhujan Prabhu next to me here. He will also address you, and then we will commence or continue with the worship of Giriraj and do an Abhishek. We try to do all the elements which are done to worship Giriraj on this day. Just now we did the Go Puja, we worshipped Mother Cow, and we got at the blessings she put or replaced her tail on our head, and then we got our blessings. We were surcharged through Ravi's kindness. Good. So let me just again mark the time, because this is a day where you like to go over time. It won't happen. Please all fold your hands. Repeat. Namaste Girirajaya.
Namaste Girirajaya.
Shri Govardhana Namine.
Shri Govardhana Namine.
Ashesha Klesha Nashaya.
Ashesha Klesha Nashaya.
At the end of describing the Govardhan Leela, Shukadev Goswami speaks a very, very interesting verse and relates the whole pastimes to all of us here. Deva Vashati Yakya Viplavarusha Rajashma Vashanila Siddhat Pala Pashustriyatma Sharanam Drishmanukam Yutsmayam Yaika Karina Shaila Abalo Lilo Chilindram Yata Piprap Koshtarapam Mahendra Madabit Priyanna Indro Gavam. The English translation, which summarizes really the pastime. Indra became angry when his sacrifice was disrupted, and thus he caused rain and hail to fall on Gokula, accompanied by lightning and powerful winds, all of which brought great suffering to the cowherds, animals, and women there. Jiva Goswami describes just how much the suffering was. It was pitch dark, black night during the day. The cows had at first tried to protect their calves from the rain, but the water started to rise to their throat, and the cows were mooing helplessly to Govinda to help them. There were not just only rainfalls, it was ice blocks, you know, that some were only as big as a fist, but others were as big as a rock, and destroyed some of the houses. And it was just so terrifying and so panicking that no one knew to find their homes any longer. They were shelterless. They were at the point of an apocalyptic attack, so to say. Shukadev describes what happened then. When Lord Krishna, who is by nature always compassionate, saw the condition of those who had only him as their shelter, he smiled broadly. What is there to smile in such a situation? Well, he knew, I will do now something which will be remembered for thousands of years. It will be so astonishing. I will do something which no one could think I could do. And he smiled because of this. And then he lifted Govardhan Hill with one hand. Just as a small child picks up a mushroom to play with it. Holding up the hill, he protected the cowherd community. And he said, aye, come. And everyone came under the hill, and by the Lord's potency, he had created wheat fields for the cows to munch and eat. And he had created houses from jewels for his people to rest, but they didn't use them. They only wanted to be near to Krishna and see him. May he, Govinda, the lord of the cows and the destroyer of Indra's false pride, be pleased with us. So Shukadev Goswami, by saying this, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, first relates this pastime to his immediate listener. Who is that? Parikshit Maharaj. Yes, you are even a little bit away. Congratulations. And then he relates it to all the entire assembly. He says, in other words, you also have a trouble, like the Brijbasis. There is a lightning which is coming towards you. It's the curse of Sringi, the son of the Rishi Samika. And this lightning is powerful enough to extinguish you, to kill you, to finish you once and for all. But you also have something that protects you. That which protects you is the Bhagavatam Katha, which you are listening since so many days now. And this Bhagavatam Katha will protect you just like the umbrella-like Giriraj protected all these Brijbasis and the cows. You must know, Nanda Maharaj alone had 900,000 cows, you know. They all fit it somehow. And then he says, I glorify Krishna who initiated the great yagya of reciting the Bhagavatam. And then he says, okay, this is for you, Parikshit. The Bhagavatam will protect you. But he says, may the Lord of the cows, Indragavam, who destroyed Indra's false pride, be pleased with you, me, and all the assembled listeners. So, yes, this is an ongoing pastime. May the Lord protect all of you here who came into this valley and who even have a little energy to listen. It can be increased. I can feel it in the atmosphere. This will protect you for all times. This Leela of Lord Krishna raising the Govardhan Hill. Now this particular pastime brings us to a point which may be requiring some deep thoughts on our side. When Krishna said, don't worship Indra, but worship whom?
Govardhan.
He was referring to Govardhan as the living deity of Braj. The main deity, for the cowherd community, he said, you don't need Indra. Giriraj is much more powerful than you. than Indra. And he did not only think because he gives you something to eat and water. Giriraj is a living presence, a conscious being. Who of you worships Giriraj at home? A good number of you. Why do you do this? Because your friend does it? Or this is what we do in ISKCON, painting nice eyes on Giriraj? Why do you do it? Is he a dead rock from North India? No, you have all noticed when you worship Giriraj and you are in the proper mood, you do it with your body, with your mind and with your heart, no? At that time Giriraj reciprocates and gives you first of all a very nice feeling, but then he bends your mind so that it turns towards Krishna and spiritual things. He is working on you. He is a living presence. He is living. He is alive. He is pulsating with life. And because, as Krishna showed, he is divine. He is actually another form of Krishna himself. So the Leela is very quickly told. When Krishna was only 7 years old, he broke tradition. Krishna broke many traditions. that is the annual Indra Puja. And he told the Brajvasis that Giriraj is their main deity. And in the process, he introduced himself as Giriraj. He said this famous verse, Shailosmi. Please repeat.
Shailosmi.
I am that hill.
I am that hill.
Yes, and he then took on a form, a large form with crown, bluish complexion, beautifully dressed, and said, and I'm hungry. And he extended his arms, and in the presence of everyone, he ate all the offerings of the Brajvasis. There was one little boy who stood next to Krishna who was becoming anxious because he saw that this huge form, this Krishna huge form, ate everything which was there. So he turned to Krishna and said, will he leave anything or will he eat everything? So that there's not, he was concerned that he will get some of those sweets, you know. Very, very sweet. And Krishna said, you will get. He told this in a voice as deep as thunder, Shailosmi, I am that hill. He was not mental about it. It was a statement for all times. He is divine. Then, according to Harivamsa, he told something to the Brajvasis. He says, if you want to be kind to your cows, then worship me in this form as Giriraj from this day onwards. Every year you must worship me. If you want to be kind to your cows, I will give you by this worship everything you need. So Raghunath Goswami describes how the Brajvasi from that on worshipped Giriraj. He has a very nice thing. He was there sitting at Radhakund meditating, and all of a sudden he saw before his very eyes a beautiful scene Giriraj was worshipped. Someone is coming. I do not believe. Oh, the moving Giriraj.
Heidigkeit! Heidigkeit! Welcome!
And now the moving Giriraj has come. We are extremely honored and happy to have your presence. And we have reserved your seat under this desire tree. So, with your permission, I continue.
Please.
Yes. So, our Raghunath Goswami, in meditation, sees this lovely scene of how the Brijbasis are worshipping Mother Giriraj. Sorry, I'm a little bit, the moment Giriraj has come, so a little bit bewildered. He addresses in his meditation Rupa Manjari and says, look, 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 when Mother Yashoda worships Govardhan Hill with great love during the Deepavali festival. I will say it again because your attention was a little divided. Now we will fully be there. When Mother Yashoda worships Govardhan Hill with great love during the Deepavali festival, the brilliantly decorated cowherd woman loudly sing blissful songs, and then Mother Yashoda takes her hand, puts it in a bowl of kumkuma, and puts her handprint lovingly on Krishna's back. So Krishna is there, and Mother Yashoda takes this, you know, this gesture. The cow, which you can see, has many handprints, but also Burijan Prabhu has handprints, and others have on the, I see this Prabhu has. It's usually extended to the cow, this greeting, this handprint, but in the joy of Giriraj Puja, Mother Yashoda thought, not only the cow should be worshipped and protected, also my Kanaya, who's so restless and needs protection of his mother, and he gives her the stamp. And Krishna sees the stamp and is very, very happy, because this means now his mother has given him motherly blessings. No? So this is the first part of this verse. You will hear the second in a moment. But it was said, Mother Yashoda, with the brilliantly decorated cow hair. There's that Tapamaya, sit down. She sang with the beautiful other cow hair women, loudly blissful songs about Krishna. And Jiva Goswami is saying, what are these songs? And we want to sing the first four lines. One group of people sing, Giri Pujejam Vihitakena. Who has begun the Giri Puja? Please repeat after me. Giri Pujetyam Vihitakena.
Giri Pujetyam Vihitakena.
Yes, sir, you may. Let's try it again. I say it alone, and then you listen this time, and then you can also say it. Giri Pujetyam Vihitakena.
Giri Pujetyam Vihitakena.
And then the other group answers, Arachi Shakra Padam Avaya Yenam. This is a little longer, they will not repeat it. He who bestowed freedom here of India. Let's see if we can sing it. Yes, start.
Second line?
Yes, start with the second line and we will sing the first line. Sing also the first line, because
Giri Puja. Yeah.
sarara parva abhaya mai
giri pujaya vita kela
utane saha nirataya na
giri pujaya vita kela
rudrabut tanu dalana mai na
giri pujaya vita kela
mala jula taru udalaya
Something like this, only a little sweeter, when the cowherd lady and Mother Yashoda was singing it, you can imagine the blissfulness of the occasion. That's one of the songs which they sang. And the verse continues. What else they did? Oh, look! When they circumambulate Govardhan Hill, the Vrajavasis, headed by Nanda Maharaj, keep the cows in front. So they go first, the cows, and the women in the rear, and Krishna, the moon of Braj, Vrajachandra, no? Walks all the way in the back, joking with his friends, and he looks at Srimati Radharani on various pretexts. He has eyes for Radha, like this. So, this is the worship which is done traditionally. First, Giriraj is worshipped in great style. The cow is worshipped in great style. Then Krishna got his motherly, affectionate print on his bluish, transcendent body. How sweet he must have looked when he smiled at this gesture of his mother, and looked from the eyes. Corners to perhaps see what is in the back. And then they would they assembled for a great procession. The cows went in front, Nanda Maharaj came then the ladies came, in the back Krishna Balaram and their joyful cowherd boys. It is described that everyone always knew where Krishna was. Many, it was a large procession, because Krishna playfully would throw his cowherding stick in the air, and so you could see over the heads of everyone Krishna joyfully shouting, "Ah!" and throwing his cowherd stick and catching it. We know in Chaitanya Charitamrita that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reenacted this pastime and whirled the cowherd stick, because devotees had said, "We only believe that you are Krishna, Chaitanya, if you can also whirl the cowherd stick." So Lord Chaitanya started to whirl the cowherd stick and sometimes whirl it between his legs and whirl it back from the back and whirl it and throw it like a helicopter. Yeah, so Krishna did all this, and one could see where he is, because he whirled the super whirl, and so on. Yes, the cows were all dressed very beautifully with head ornaments like this. I don't know how it looks like, but it looked very beautifully. And there was blissful singing, and they were garlanded. The people had dressed in their fineries. Are you all well dressed, Gopinath? You missed the opportunity. Fresh dhotis, fresh dress should be dressed. They dressed in white, but they dressed also in red because it's a beautiful occasion. They dressed in yellow and so on. And yeah, this was it. This is the ongoing Giriraj procession and celebration. My dear devotees, before I sign off, I'd like to draw now two lessons from the Giriraj Leela that are hopefully pleasing to you and relevant to you. The first lesson is a lesson where to take shelter. You will see that your life after this, Giriraj, if you understand this one point, will make a drastic change to a better. Because someone who is sheltered is no longer dependent on his own efforts. You may have tried many times and you may have failed to overcome your particular obstacles. But if you are sheltered, then the one who gives you shelter will take care of your everything. Like he said to, like Giriraj said to all the bridge passes, do this work and I will give you everything you need. This, my dear devotees, is the, I would say, the paradigmic step which all of us should do again and again. Throwing our hands in the air and say, we can't do it alone. Like the bridge passes who were not able to overcome Indra's attack on their own. Krishna helped them by providing them shelter under the hill. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes a beautiful song about taking shelter. You please repeat after me. Atmani Vedana.
Atmani Vedana.
Tuya Padikari.
Tuya Padikari.
I know Padama Sukhi.
I know.
By surrendering myself at your feet, I have become only distressed. Was it the right translation? You are not listening. Why are you not listening? Again, now, I will say something false again. You have to check it. By surrendering myself at your feet, I have become supremely happy.
Arrivo.
Is that right?
Yes.
Well, I might trick you. Maybe it's difficult to surrender to Krishna. Or when the temple president says, surrender, Prabhu. When our Guru Maharaj says, now you need to surrender. Bow down, mister. I will not trick you now. I will say the translation properly. By surrendering myself at your feet, I have become supremely happy. All my distress has gone away. I have no more anxiety. And I see ecstasy in all directions. Your feet are the abode of sorrowlessness. Your feet give fearlessness. Your feet give immortality. receiving shelter under them, I have now abandoned all fear and anxieties of material existence. The song continues beautifully. But what is with the difficulties, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which sometimes in the service happen, you know, when I lose my respect, when my respectful name is tarnished. What is with the distress I happen when I fail? What is with the distress when people get on my nerves? Listen, for surrendered soul, what is the reaction? All the distress I encounter in your service is also my greatest happiness. Why? Well, both the distress and the happiness that come from engagement in your service are my greatest fortune. Why? Because they destroy the distress of ignorance. My dear devotees, yes, sometimes the path of bhakti is very sharp, and I can only speak for myself. I have done many mistakes, and I have suffered. I have been attacked even on public stages with chemical bombs. Oh, afterwards I fell from the stage and needed hospitalization. But I remember when that was, one devotee helped me. He said, this distress you encountered in the service is your greatest fortune. I said, Prabhu, you are not chemically bombed. Tell some theory. Tell me, oh, this is my fortune. I'm lying in the bed. My nerves are on fire with chemical gas. He said, yes, this is your greatest fortune. Because now the ignorance of Satchinandan Swami is destroyed, that he can be happy in this world. The big preacher, you are now in the position where you need to take shelter of Krishna. You're not in your own ability. Prabhu, thank you very much. I'm now surrendering. Diving in the ecstasy of your service, you know, surrender, Bhaktivinoda performs all his endeavors in accordance with your will and resides within your home. This song, if you want to find it and read it on your own, is called Atma Nivedana. You can Google it and read it in its entirety. So taking shelter is the first lesson, and at the end, or I'm finishing earlier, this is good. At the end, the second lesson, my dear devotees, and please listen another time very attentively, is the destruction of pride. You can only see Vrindavan. You can only see spiritually yourself and Krishna if your pride is gone. And Krishna constantly, if he is merciful to a devotee, will take away his pride. Only a little bit, he may lead a kirtan and think the kirtan is really good, and then step on the thorn and gone, this is good. Feelings of I'm leading a nice kirtan. It goes usually with the thorns when you walk in Vrindavan. But he can also do it in a major way, remove the pride. And it is at the beginning quite painful when we are still in the old concept of life, but then it goes. He removed the pride of whom here in this Leela?
Indra,
the king of heaven, not just someone. Afterwards, When Krishna had already placed Giriraj at his old place, and the Brijvasis had gone home, he had repaired their homes by his Shakti, Krishna was sitting alone at Giriraj Govardhan. He had inspected the damage which had happened, and he was now sitting peacefully. And at that time, Indra had a chance to come and have a discussion with Krishna about what just happened. So it's a heart-to-heart discussion between master and servant. And Indra knew, I cannot be tricky now, because he is the all-knowing super soul. I must confess that I did a mistake. And he said, Mayedam Bhagavan Goshta Nashaya Saravayubi Chastitam Vihita Vihate Yakye Maninati Brahmanyuna. My dear Lord, when my sacrifice was disrupted, I became fiercely angry at you because of false pride. Thus I have tried, I can imagine Indra starts to cry now, thus I have tried to destroy your cowherd community with severe rain and wind. He did not just want to disturb them, he wanted to kill them. So Indra, Krishna says of this, but Indra, how is it possible for my devotee to do such a thing? And Indra responds, I became angry when my worship was stopped. That's why I did this. And Krishna then says, but Indra, I'm your master. It was me, your master, who stopped your worship. I cannot believe that my servant would do such a thing. Now listen to Indra. My Lord, anything is possible for one who is falsely proud, Manina. Krishna, though pride may somehow arise in my devotee, it can happen. He will remove it if he is intelligent. Indra says, yeah. When one is angry, Tibramanyuna, then all the intelligence is destroyed. So the point here, without coming right to the essence, is Indra, who is a devotee of Krishna, became overwhelmed with so much pride that he objected to the Lord's plan for him and for the Indra Puja, and he attacked him. Have you ever become pride and gone against the plan of the Lord? No need to answer this in loudness. Many times I have done. Not seen the plan of the Lord, but try to stick to my own line. And this is what in Vrindavan is taken from us. This is where the Giriraj Puja becomes relevant to us. First point, protection, which is offered to those who go to the shelter of Krishna. Second point, where it's relevant, give up your pride, bow down to the dust of Giriraj, and then pray for him, for help. Thank you very, very much. I've come to the end, and I want to end also here, because we have another very wonderful speaker ahead of us. I'm just wondering, there is a lot of sunshine. What we did in the past is that two kind devotees took a chadar, raised it. Or are you unkind? Maharaj, are you fine or is it?
It's okay. But thank you for your concern.
Okay, it is okay. So, what were the two points which are relevant in the Giriraj Leela?
Shelter.
Take shelter. What does this mean? What could it mean? Why don't you turn to the neighbor and think how you could apply these things? We are very good in theory, but we have to bring this into our life. Otherwise, it will remain the same. So as Bhujan sits up, 2 minutes, turn to a neighbor quickly and tell them, shelter, taking shelter, and what was the other? Overcoming pride, no? Hare Krishna. Please do this. Talk about it. Make it relevant. Start now. Find it. Yeah, I know it's what. This is not a lecture in the temple, Prabhus. We can do something little different from the temple.
I thought you were showing that.
You're the first one to do that.
Yeah, that's true. Which is very much beyond this world. It's very much beyond this world.
It's difficult because of my speaking so much about things about
I'm going to go to the next one.
Hare Krishna. So thank you very much. I saw all of you drawing something. Then there will be benefit that goes much further in your life when you draw out and apply the lessons. Let us now lovingly welcome our Burijan Prabhu. He will continue the katha and Hare Krishna.
Haribo!
Go Premanandi!
Hari
Haribo!
Go
Premanandi!
Hari Haribo!
Go Premanandi!
Hari Haribo!
including the pastime of Krishna, Vishnu, Gira, Govardhan. And I would like to underline a few points that Maharaj already spoke about, including that wonderful verse that is very dear to Maharaj and myself at the end of the 26th chapter of the 10th canto. But first, when I think about what to speak about in Govardhan Leela, one part of the Leela comes to my mind immediately and I cannot escape from it. And Maharaj mentioned it, but I would like to go into it in a little bit of more detail. We know that Indra became so upset, and he explains later that it was due to his pride. And when one is proud, and everyone in the material world who has a false ego has pride in them, and that pride causes them to turn away from Krishna. Such, you could say, arrogance. When one places oneself before the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one is clearly an illusion, because we're all so tiny. And we can't even convince one person that we're the center of existence, practically speaking. So Indra became so, because of his pride, he became so overwhelmingly angry that he tried to destroy not only Krishna and not only the all of Braj, but he tried to even kill all the cows. This is one village, and he's the king of heaven. So how is it possible that he could have been so disturbed? And this is the nature of pride. When one has pride, one is capable of anything. When one becomes angry, one is capable of anything. So in the midst of this, Krishna understood that this is the work. The rain was falling like as thick as pillars, as thick as that tree that says the Radha on it. The rain columns were so thick. And everyone was in so much distress, as Maharaj pointed out, the calves took shelter under the mother cows, but that wasn't working because the water was raising and the bulls being hit by the hailstones became angry, but there was nothing they could do. So Krishna, in his own mind, he thought, this is Indra's work, and he's angry, and he wanted to cure him of the pride. And being the greatest of teachers, he gave him a lesson in such a way that, without saying anything directly even, Indra understood that I and my power is insignificant. And this, in one sense, is every man and every woman's journey in life. We must be confronted with different things, and we all have, everyone in the material world, at least I will speak for myself, there's a pride in something. We're proud of the gifts that Krishna has given us that in one second he can remove. And we think it is me who's doing it, and I hope everyone notices that it is me. And we don't even know who this me is, actually. It's only we have this concept based on false sense of me, false ego, ahankara. So Krishna wanted to teach Indra a lesson and remove that pride in such a way it would enter completely deeply into his heart. And this is life, and this is what we need to learn, or at least I certainly need to learn it. So after he thought of curing Indra of his pride, he had a second mission, which was most dear to him, and that was to protect the Vrijbasis. And Maharaj spoke about this very nicely, and including in the song of Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur Amrita Vedana. What caused Krishna to lift the hill to protect the Vrijbasis? What was the cause? So there is one verse, and it's interesting, in the Bhagavatam verse, he says, when I break the pride of the false prestige of those bereft of goodness, my purpose is to bring them relief. My purpose is to bring them relief because it's such a heavy burden to carry around the illusion that I am wonderful when actually we're only insignificant. It's such a heavy burden. And the nature of the mind is that one part of us at one moment is saying how wonderful I am, and in the next moment, and criticizing everyone else for not understanding, and in the next moment, just criticizing oneself and seeing how fallen I am and ridiculous I am, back and forth. And this is such a burden of material life to have a material mind. So Krishna, and this is part of the purport of what Maharaj said when he was under that extreme difficult situation of being gassed on stage, that was in Serbia during the war. And he was just chanting and preaching, and then someone threw a gas bomb. And life suddenly goes out of control. And what do you? And the last thing my mind wants to do when life goes out of control is take shelter of Krishna. Rather, I become angry sometimes, even. Yes, yes, yes. You sent them. So it's such a burden. A material mind is the greatest burden, and Krishna, out of his kindness, wants to relieve Indra of that burden. So, but then his mind turns to the Vrijbasis. And why is he going to perform the leela of lifting the hill for them? So he says, Tasma, or he thinks, Tasmas Matsaranam Gostam Manata Ma Parigrahan. That because they have fully surrendered to me, Matsaranam Gostam, these coward people, They don't know anything else but me. Krishna is everything to them. Everything. They know nothing but Krishna's pleasure. And because they're in that mood, Krishna's, and they're thinking, I am their Lord, and they are my family. They consider me as close as a family member. They were living in the same village. This is mamata, that type of affection. So Gopye Swapna Yogena, I must protect them using my Swatma Yogi, my own mystic powers, and Krishna has unlimited potency. And yet, I fail to surrender and fail to trust. I fail to trust Krishna's part, that he promises to protect, without even doing my part. In every relationship, there's two parts, my part and the other, the beloved's part. And usually my mind is criticizing the other, the beloved, for not doing their part without understanding that I'm not doing my part, or what could I improve in my part? And that's where the issue of developing Krishna consciousness really springs from. Krishna will do his part. He promises, so yam me vrata ahita, it is my vow to protect my devotees. Kanteya pratijanihi. I will do it. So the translation here, I must therefore protect the coward community by my transcendental potency, Swatma Mayaya, for I am their shelter. They don't go anywhere else for shelter. I am their master. And indeed, they are my own family. Vanam Tata means, which is the essence of surrender, it means that if you take full shelter of Krishna as you serve him and be Krishna conscious of Krishna as one serves, acting for Krishna's pleasure as one serves, and knowing what will please Krishna, then that allows one, when that mood is there, that's called saranagati dotsapte varanamta, that allows one to really consider oneself in Krishna's protected family. One has that feeling, that experience of giving everything to you, Krishna. You can do whatever you like with me. And that devotee who was, and it, when one's in a difficult position, like being gassed and everything is out of control and you don't know if you're going to live or not live, and someone says to you, Krishna's mercy, Prabhu. I mean, as far as somebody said, it's not exactly what you want to hear, something theoretical, but yet the devotee, Tateinu Tampam Sushumakshamam, sees in every circumstance that I am under Krishna's protection, and this somehow or another, and time reveals it, this Krishna's mercy is involved here. Krishna's kindness. And that allows one to feel oneself, experience oneself, as naturally one protects the members of one's own family, naturally. One experiences oneself as part of Krishna's family and under his protection. Direct experience of being protected by Krishna, and that's what everyone is longing for in this crazy Kali Yuga world where one doesn't know what in the world is going to happen next. There's anxiety, no security. This is the secure security. So then Krishna actually tells them, you should have no fear that this mountain will fall from my beginning. And don't be afraid. If I was a real good rap singer, I would really do this one well. Raghu, you can do it. Don't be afraid of the wind and the rain. For your deliverance from these afflictions. North Indian style. For your deliverance from these afflictions has already been arranged. Krishna has made arrangements. Now, if we ask ourselves, do I believe this right now? And we're all, if it's in a, the time tests us, life tests us. And the purpose of a test is mostly self-examination, to see where you stand. Don't be afraid of the wind and the rain, for your deliverance from these afflictions has already been arranged. And as Maharaj in the song that Maharaj read, the Atma Vedanam song, explained, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explained, that the freedom from anxiety will be the test of whether you're actually surrendered, knowing that I'm in Krishna's hands, like the child holding the hand of his parent, going across the busy street. There's no anxiety, because even though it is truly dangerous, even though it is dangerous, he's holding on tightly and he trusts. So immediately the Brijbasis, next verse, their minds thus pacified by Krishna. Pacified means what? Raise your hand, fool, say what pacified means.
Console.
Peaceful, calm, no anxiety, trusting Krishna. He has proved himself so many times. They all entered beneath the hill and they found everything they needed. They found complete room for themselves, 900,000 cows, all of Braj. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, how could all of this, he asked the question, how could all of this fit all these 900,000 cows and all of Braj and all the community and their wagon? How could it fit under this hill? And he answers the question with a wonderful statement saying, not only could all of Braj take shelter under Govardhan, the whole three worlds could take shelter under Giriraj Govardhan and have room and have everything supplied. Next verse. And here is the key in one sense. So please listen carefully. And Lord Krishna, and there's two meanings of this verse. Lord Krishna, forgetting hunger and thirst and putting aside all considerations of personal pleasure, and the Vrijbasis also were just focusing on Krishna. Krishna stood there holding the hill for 7 days as the people of Braja gazed at him. So what was in their minds? They didn't think about their hunger, they didn't think about their thirst, they didn't think about this problem and the rain outside, and they didn't think about that. They were just fully focused on Krishna and his incredible beauty. And especially Kavi Kanapur and Ananda Vrindavan Champu discusses what was going on in the hill, and it's something wonderful. But Sukadeva Goswami, he doesn't mention any of these things because he wants Parikshit Maharaj, perhaps, and us to get this point that they just were gazing at Krishna. They were absorbed simply in thoughts of Krishna as they were in a very difficult circumstance. Their thoughts were only on Krishna. So there may be a lesson for us to learn from that. And this will give us, this is the test of how our devotional service is doing, is how much we are absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. Who is it that I really want to please? Who is my mind really focused on? So immediately after this, Indra noted it, that he sent his cloud spies and they came back with a report that not even one tree on Govardhan was being disturbed by this rain, and the residents of Vrindavan were looking at the rain falling from the sides of the hill, and they were seeing it like strings of pearls on an umbrella. They were just seeing beauty in this devastating occurrence as they stared with minds focused simply on Krishna, focused on Krishna. So, of course, it's embarrassing to be telling, as if I'm telling everyone what they should be doing, because as Srila Sukadeva Goswami explains in the first chapter of the 10th canto, that there are three grades of benefit of those who benefit from hearing Krishna Katha. There's three people, one who asks the question, one who answers the question, and then the general hearers. And who benefits the most? It's the person who's speaking, because he can't fall asleep. It's been done. He can't let his mind wander, and that also happens sometimes. But you have to hear it. You have to hear the words coming from your mouth with such a benefit to being a preacher. Because the first person, the first listener is yourself. And it's humbling. Sometimes, as Maharaj emphasized, being not proud and taking shelter and removing pride. So the opposite of pride is humility. So how does one become humble? When people ask me that question, I always have the same answer. Don't worry, just be patient. And Srila Prabhupada himself said, old man can't be proud. Because we see that all the things that I thought were me, that I was proud of, were just simply temporary gifts on loan from Krishna. Everything from the hair to the teeth, to the ankles, to the knees, etc., etc., etc. And no one can escape from this. And therefore, when we're young, our greatest friend is our mirror. Excuse me, our greatest enemy is our mirror. And when we're old, our greatest friend is the mirror, because we see the difference between what I think I look like and what I actually look like. And it's undeniable what the next steps are. But I don't want to speak about that, really. What I wanted to do next, just mention, is that there's no time in the Bhagavatam given for the 7 days under the hill. Shocking. Just immediately Indra noticed, and then he called off the clouds and the rain, and then everyone exited the hill. And Krishna said, now you can all leave. The sun is shining. Now you can leave. And he put the hill down. And then the next pastime, in the next chapter, after the next chapter, is what Maharaj was reading about Indra coming. But I also, at the end of that chapter, I'll just quickly go through this is the 25th chapter of the 10th canto, which describes the lifting of the hill. But in the 26th chapter, the residents of Vrindavan, cowherd men, who had been observing Krishna lifting the hill and were just completely absorbed, and they didn't notice that, wait a second, here's a 6-7 year old boy and he's holding up a mountain. There's something quite unnatural about that. But as soon as they went home, they began to think about it. This is extraordinary. They didn't even notice that Krishna was holding up the hill, and that was something that was quite, on one level, quite unnatural. And the next chapter, chapter 26, they think, wait, they go home, and they think, how is it that this boy, little boy, who is so naughty, steals, he cheats, he lies, and he's just little, but yet he's done such extraordinary things, like hold up a hill, the killing of Putana, Trinavarta, etc., etc., etc. Is he a great god, or is he just an ordinary child? And they can't answer the question themselves, because whichever side they took, he's so powerful, they remembered, but he's just so naughty. And he's born in a cowherd family, which isn't the highest class of they always talk loudly, in case you didn't notice. And they like to make, stay up all night and make bang, 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 and so they asked Nanda Maharaj, and Nanda Maharaj just repeated the words that Gaugacharya had told him many years before about who Krishna was. And he just repeated those words. And then at the very end of the chapter is that verse that Maharaj read when he began, which summarizes the pastime. And I would like to speak about that verse in a little slightly different way, in a slightly different detail than our Maharaj did.
Satyatya viplavarusha Rajasma vasha nilaye. Siddhatala pashu siyatma sharanam Jeshtvanu kamplut smayam Utpatyaitka kalina shaila bhano Lilo chilindram yata Vibrat koshtam apanna hindra madabhi Riyanna indro gavam. Once again. Deva vashariyakya viplavarusha Rajashma vasha nilaye Sirat pala pashusti yatma shadanam Rishvanu kampyutsmayam Utpadyai kakarina shaila balo Nilo chilindram yata Vibrat goshtam apanna enna madabhi
I would like to read the word by word because they're quite interesting. It's as close as I can get to the Sanskrit translation. So Devi Varsity, when the Devi and our acharyas, even though Mahendra, Krishna's name, Indra's name is mentioned later, but they that Sukadeva is speaking, actually interesting, in the Krishna book, So the Prabhupada says that Nanda Maharaj speaks this verse. So I've always wondered, most of the acharyas say that Sukadeva spoke this verse, but Sridhar Swami, he says that Nanda spoke this verse, and the rest of the acharyas say that Sukadeva. So he won't mention Indra's name because they're so upset with him for what he did. Indra Varsity, Jagya Viplava Rusha. So Varsity means he caused rain. Because Viplava and Jagya, because his sacrifice was disturbed. Rusha, out of anger, threw lightning bolts because his sacrifice was disturbed. He tried to destroy those who had, in his mind, disrespected him. And Amsavarsha, hail, and a lion, wind. And he, Siddha, Pala, Pashu, Stri. So he caused so much trouble with these things to the residents of Vrindavan, to the Pala, the cowherd men, the animals, and Stri, and the women. But Atma Saranam, that Krishna himself, Saranam, being the one that they all took shelter of, being their only shelter, Drishva, Kampi, by being Anukampa, by being compassionate, his very nature is compassionate. And this is something that we have to learn to trust, that Krishna's very nature is compassionate, and actually he's very soft. He's compassionate and soft. So when Krishna saw this anger stemming from Indra's pride, causing him to throw hail and wind and lightning bolts, terrifying the residents in Vrindavan, Krishna, who is very compassionate, his very nature is compassionate. Utsmayan, he smiled broadly. And part of that smile was, Indra, you are nothing. Utpatya, ekkarena, he picked up the mountain in one hand. And later, when Mother Yashoda was thinking that this is so difficult for him, he transferred it to one finger, the smallest, weakest finger on the hand. The left hand is weaker, the weakest finger. This is nothing for me. Just to remove the anxiety of Mother Yashoda. She smiled and picked up in one hand Silam, the hill. Over there. Abala means just like a small child, but our acharyas say this is another meaning for that. It means he did this without Balaram, Abala, because he's demonstrating his own, Sukadeva is demonstrating Krishna's position as the Supreme. Abala, small child, Leela, he's just playfully he picked it up. It's not difficult for him to give shelter, and that's his nature. And Utsalindram, just like Yata, just like a child picks up a mushroom, Utsalindra, a mushroom. Bibrat, and he held them. He held it, and he told them, don't be afraid, it's going to fall from my hand. He held it. Rostam, Apat, he protected the cowherd community from what? Maha Indra, Mother, beat. He destroyed the false pride of Indra by doing this. There is real pride, there is legitimate pride, and there is false pride. Real pride is pride in something that is part of us that won't be taken away by time. And false pride, it will be taken away by time. And what is one doing in this world that's eternal and won't be taken away by time? That is something for you to think about. And Krishna destroyed the false pride of India. And at the same time, the actual pride of the residents of Vrindavan increased it, because they were proud of, look how wonderful Krishna is. Look what this boy is doing, our boy. My Krishna. Look what he's doing, he's captivating. Look what he's doing, he's smiling. Glancing this way and that. And then finally, Priya Na, may he be, may that Lord Indra Gavam, predicting here the name Indra Gavam, the protector of the cows, Govinda. He's also Indra, but he's the real Indra. He's the real Lord. May he be pleased with us. So right now I suggest everyone just turn to Giriraj. And tell him something about yourself and your actual desires and what you want, and end it with the prayer of Priyan Noah, Indra Gavam, may he be pleased with me somehow or another. You should open up your heart to Giriraj. Tell him just what you want to tell him, and you can even tell him something that you've never told anyone else before. Your deepest secret in your heart, your deepest desire. The best part of you, the desire from the best part of you. Loudly as you can in your mind, in the sweetest way you can in your mind. You offer him flowers, jewels. Preparations you'd like, just make it real. Real offering. Yes. Please accept this out of your kindness.
Thank you. Thank you.